Well, hello everybody and welcome to November's edition of the Pitching In NPL show, recorded on the 7th of December. We need to sort out the diaries and calendars. I'm thinking of a new naming convention.
All right.
Because it just doesn't work, does it? This monthly review on a show out on the 9th of December, it just seems... more or less a Christmas special. Welcome, everyone, to the Christmas special of the Pitching In NPL show.
That was your being funny bit, wasn't it?
And
trying
because,
to bring it back, yeah, okay, well
and
done.
Because it is a special show this week, we've got some special guests. Mr. Andrew Simpson is here.
Oh, am I upgraded to special? Thank you very much.
Non-league reporter from Cheshire, of course. Also here, non-league reporter from Belgium, Swampy's here. Hello, Swampy.
Oh, yes, hello. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How the devil are you?
And from Belgium... to Hyde. 26-0's very own Burke. You're not Burke, yeah? Who are you?
I'm Burke, Ben.
It's Luke Edwards, everyone.
Hello, hello, how are you?
Keep that in because he does impressions of them.
Yeah, exactly. Tremendous.
Blimey.
Just to say thank you to Luke, who stepped in very last minute. Burke phoned in sick.
The temperature dropped below zero and he's not here.
Can I just make a point of order? It would have been nice to know we had a... a slightly changing team this evening.
Well, I'm no HR expert, but people's health is none of your business, is basically
my Christmas presents, they're not going to really work. And I also have to say, I mean, it's not cold down here in the cellar. It's probably the warmest part of the bar. And there's two people in front of me that look like they are at, I don't know, Nantwich away already. I mean, you've got so many layers on. It's incredible.
Nantwich away is pretty cold.
You join us here at the very warm Heat and Hops, and a big thank you to Damien at the Heat and Hops for hosting us for another month.
Damien actually, as a point of order, Damien did say, can you stop mentioning the Heat and Hop?
Why?
Because basically they're losing customers.
Oh.
Basically on this show.
Anyway, that hurts, doesn't it?
It does.
Right, anyway, so let's get into it. Should say there is a Step 4 show out this month as well, where we'll be catching up with six managers from Step 4 who are doing quite well at the moment in the East, the West and the Midlands Division. But for this show, it's very much all about the Premier Division and leading the way. Oh, you were so close. This was going to be about Hyde United, but then Whitby got their equaliser. But still, you're there or thereabouts, Luke. How's it going at the minute at Hyde?
Goal difference. I mean, we scored two less than South Shields and we drew at Whitby. We've drawn at places like Stafford. And if we had a goal scorer, we'd be going really well. Like, really, really well. We've only conceded 16 this season. We're flying. I don't know what Burkey said about us.
We don't know either.
Marvellous, fantastic.
Do you remember last month, you kept that bit in where he made a little side remark about being in the National League North next season? And he thought you were going to cut it, and you're glad you didn't.
I think his words were, I'll still do the NPL next season.
Yes, he did.
And I'm thinking, hold on a second. me and Ben... let's be honest. We were in National League North for four seasons. We stayed. We carried on.
Well, it was the only enjoyment we got from those 4 years.
it's a very good point. Well made. Yeah,
we're not quite, you know, past Christmas yet. So I think we are halfway in the season though at the moment. But we've said that if Burkey turns up for Mask away on the 11th of February, it's on. That's what we're saying.
He was talking about going to Whitby. Like if it would have been a Saturday. No, it's going really well. At the start of the season, I thought we'd be in the top 10, definitely, maybe push for playoffs. Second's been fantastic. We've been really solid defensively. Like Saturday against Gainsborough, the defence was amazing. Gainsborough, considering they were like unbeaten away from home, didn't have a shot on target, I don't think. They kept Clayton Donaldson quiet. Tuesday night was really difficult conditions. The rain was coming in sideways, so they were defending the wind and rain second half, so... in the end, they were struggling to clear the lines. Whitby were putting balls into the box. And eventually, they got the equaliser. Point was probably just about right. But, yeah, like I said, there's been games where we've only won 1-0 or we've been 1-0 up and conceded and probably should have won because we've not got a prolific goal scorer.
Have you heard of the cliche 1-0 wins leagues?
Well, yeah. I mean, we take that, but it's not good for the old stress levels.
No. Do Friols win leagues, Simo?
Depends who you ask.
I mean, South Shields currently leading the way, we should say. They had... an opportunity on Saturday to open up a bit of a gap. Ashton United, I mean, we'll cover off the mid-table pack shortly, obviously, but, you know, what a comeback. But South Shields...
I think what's going to be interesting is how they respond to that. Shields have another couple of opportunities to open up a gap, so it's not as bad as it could have been. But what I would say is they've just shown one or two signs of frailty in the past couple of weeks, not necessarily just because they lost at Warrington, because they've got a poor record against Warrington, but they've now conceded 7 goals in the past 3 games, which is very un-South Shields-like. When we do the next monthly show, the run of games that they've got is quite tricky. They've got to go to Gainsborough, they've got to play Whitby, Morpeth, who are not in good form, but it's a derby, and then Marine after that. So they've got quite a tough run of games. I would wager if they come through that with a decent points or the table will look different, but it could go the other way. It's got a really important month for them now.
Well, for more now on the North East and in particular South Shields and a bit about Morpeth Town as well, there's only one place we could turn to, and it's a welcome back to the show to our man in the North East football writer. A big welcome back to the show to Mark Carruthers. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Very good. Bit chilly, but very good.
Isn't it? It's freezing. Really, but anyway, we obviously recorded the monthly show on Wednesday. This bit of the show's being recorded on Friday. We do expect a load of pitch inspections and stuff like that. So please do check social media before setting off to your game. But Matt, we've got you on to talk about South Shields and how things are going. I mean, top of the league, so that's good. But the Ashton United result must stick in the claw of Kevin Phillips. It just has to, doesn't it?
Unquestionably, because the standards are high. You know, they know where they want to go. They know how they want to get there. I think a lot of people would have said it 3-1 up with 10 minutes remaining. That would be another 3 points in the bag. But this Ashton United side are determined. You know, they're a good side. I've seen them this season, and they always put in a lot of fight, so they've got back, got the draw. What I would say is I think sometimes there is a tendency to look beyond the bigger picture, which is, as you said there, they are top of the league. They have, I think I'm right in saying, the second best defensive record in the league. They've got 2 games in hand on pretty much all the top 5 except Marine. They're in a very good place. And you know, if they continue their record they have over the first 19 games of the season over what follows, they will more than likely win the league. Just because they aren't, I don't know, 10 points clear and doesn't mean it's a poor season. Yes, Ashton was a disappointment, but South Shields supporters just need to take a step back and look at, you know, where they are in the league and the job that's being done with what we shouldn't forget is a largely new squad. There was a lot of transfer business done in the summer and a lot of it's been successful.
Let's go from the top end of the table towards the bottom end now. And just touching upon Morpeth Town, there was a gap, wasn't there, when we did the show last month between the bottom 6 and the rest of the division, thanks to the brilliant runs of Nantwich, Whitby and Lancaster City, teams like Guiseley and Morpeth Town. A mask have been dragged into this now. Just touching about Morpeth. I mean, how are they finding things at the moment, do you feel?
Well, look, it's not great, is it? They're sat 2 places outside the relegation zone. They're in quite horrendous form. But I look at that Morpeth squad and the one thing that strikes me with it is it should be doing a lot better than what it is. I mean, I look at the quality they've got in there, you know, the players that have done it at this level, players that have done it higher. Even the signings they brought in, you know, the likes of Sam Fishburne, who did so well when he was on loan last season at Lancaster, had started pretty well at Morpeth, felt as if he'd be sort of guaranteed goals at this level. Connor Thompson came in from Blyth Spartans, had scored goals in the level above. Connor Panny, who's a very, very good midfielder, on loan from Gateshead. Craig Lynch is a very, very talented young manager in it. I still think he should have a lot of credit in the bank from what he did last season, because the start of the season they had was horrific. And I remember looking at that and thinking, I wouldn't say they were nailed on for relegation because it was still fairly early, but the reaction he got out of the players, the fact that they finished, you know, mid-table, they did well in the FA Cup, they did well in the FA Trophy. I think they lost to York City in both competitions. Craig deserves a lot of credit for that. But it's down to him now. It's down to his coaching staff to find, you know, answers to this run of form, this downturn in form. Morpeth have got a tricky little run of fixtures now, if we get them in, of course, with the weather and stuff. But I look at what they've got, and they have got a 3G pitch up there. So they've got Warrington on Saturday. They've got Liversedge at home the week after. Then they go to Musk, which suddenly looks a massive game. And then the first game of the new year is South Shields at home, which is always a fun affair, isn't it? So it's an interesting quartet of games they've got coming up. And you'd be hoping 3 home games, they can, I would argue, claim a minimum of 7 points is what they need.
And just a closing thought, Mark, just about the season more generally and how it's shaping up for everyone. Like I said, there was that gap
last month between the rest of the division and the bottom six. That's disappeared now. You know, Mass United currently in the relegation places, 4 points behind Atherton Cole sitting in 13th, which is nothing at this stage of the season. Do you get the sense that a club like Morpeth Town or Mask, if it can click, or even the likes of Whitby and guys there under Paul Phillips now, or Lancaster City and or the great form we see from Nantwich, do you get the sense that that gap's going to close even more now, and actually there is a potential for some of these teams to actually go a bit further, potentially?
I think it's very rare we've had a season like this where the league is so bunched up, and you know, if someone at the bottom end can suddenly find some form, then there's no reason they couldn't push into the top half, and who knows from there. It's such an unusual season. I mean, you look at the bottom, arguably you say Belper and Liversedge are possibly cut adrift now, but again, you never know. But I think you're right. You look at the sides above them, I think I'm right in saying there's only 8 points separating Morpeth in 17th and Ratcliffe in 7th, I think. So they're not a million miles away. It just needs that run of form. The problem is, losing becomes a really horrible habit. And you kind of, you know, as much as winning's a positive one, you kind of get into this flunk of getting beaten. The fact that Morpeth aren't scoring goals, I realise I'm focusing on them. There are other sides around them who are doing exactly the same. They will need to turn it around, and that goes for the likes of Nantwich and Whitby, who are showing some signs at least. The season's far from over. I mean, we're only just at the halfway point, aren't we, really? But if a team can put a good run together over Christmas and beyond, then they can get themselves up the table because of the way this season has gone.
Well, Mark, let's just pretend that it's 13 degrees outside, it's August, delightful weather. We're all having a good time this weekend, let's be honest, with some pine peas and a nice beverage of some kind. So let's just pretend that's the case. Where are you off to this weekend? And don't say your living room.
Well, it was too hot in August, wasn't it? So stayed in with a nice lolly. Yeah, this weekend I'm off to a Northern League game at the moment at Heaton Stannington. They play Crooktown. So I'm covering that for our local paper, our local Sunday paper up here in the Northeast. However, I'm fully expecting to get a phone call at about 9 o'clock in the morning saying that it's off, in which case I'll be chasing games instead. So basically my answer is I don't know, but I should be planning.
And when you've got it nailed, how could people follow you on Twitter, social media for promoting your newspaper coverage this weekend?
Yep, it's on Twitter at @MarkCruthers_. Follow me for the latest postponements. I think that'll be it. That'll be my job this weekend, because it's got to be -2 overnight, and it's got to stay that way until about 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. So, funny enough, Morpeth with their pitch may be one of the only ones on.
Well, fingers crossed we get more than one game on tomorrow, that's for sure. But Matt Carruthers, North East football writer, a big, big thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us on this month's show. You have a lovely weekend, and we'll catch up very soon.
Thanks for having me.
Hyde United and South Shields currently leading the way. South Shields do have two games in hand. Gainsborough Trinity, 36 points.
Yeah.
2 points off top spot. 40 goals, Simo. 40 goals scored. And away form, every other club in the league looks at the away form and goes, well, we'd like that.
Hyde were the first team to beat Gainsborough away from home. You know, that's how long they've managed to sustain the run on the road.
And it's flipped, hasn't it? Because last year they couldn't win away and they won at home. Yeah. We're not doing as well at home this year, are they?
So we'll wait and see how they kind of respond to it. Kind of, and it is a mini setback, one away defeat in December. So we'll see how they respond to that. I think we should show a lot of love to Clayton Donaldson. What an unbelievable signing. I think he's 38 and he's 39 on his next birthday early in the new year. And sometimes they're a bit of a gamble, low signing. He's not quite sure what you're going to get. But it's quite a young team. And then he's coming and it reminds me of a lot of when Steve McNulty came to Witten. And you kind of, he's contributing as a player, but obviously he's inspiring everybody around him.
You've got players like Curtis DeRose and Harry Lewis and Liam Waldock just running around him.
Yeah.
And when the counter-attacks, this is why they've won so many games away from home, I think, counter-attacking-wise.
Well, Waldock's in double figures for goals, isn't he?
Yeah. I think also it depends. If you're 38 or 39 and you're physically fit and you can still run around the pitch and actually create something, that is what the major boost is, because you know, you can be a 37-year-old player and sit on the halfway line and conduct things, but not be that effective. What they've got is a player who actually is still physically fit, sure, can run up and down the pitch, and has a major contribution to that team. I personally think, at this moment in time, if I fancy Gainsborough to be the league winner, to win the league. I really do. I think
but they've Swampy, got they've, 14th they've, in the home in the farm table. They need to improve the home farm, then, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I tell you what, though, Swampy's round this table. The last time he was round this table, it was for the season preview, and he said who would be in the playoffs. He said Bamber Bridge would be in the playoffs. And no one else was predicting
and
that.
And we all laughed, didn't we?
Well, we did, yeah.
If Jamie's listening, I didn't at all. That's a wise well, word, as always, from the non-league sage. What about Marin? I keep saying it because it's true. You look at the promoted sides out of Step 4. Marin being fourth is such an achievement, Luke. Really.
Yes and no, because I think they've used the FA Cup money really well, haven't they? At the end of the day, he's put a good side together. You've done the ground up as well with the pitch and things like that. They absolutely batted high last week.
The club's transformed since Tottenham, really.
They've never bistro. Mm-hmm. Nice bistro and bar. Hyde drew 0-0 there last week, and Marine absolutely battered him, and Hyde did really well to like, hang in there in the end. But they've conceded the least in division as well. You can see why they're very...
It is an intimidating round to go
to. On top
to.
Of you.
If you've never been there before, and they're getting big crowds now, I think Marine is, as a football club, is just exactly what non-league football is about. They're brilliant. They really are. From start to finish, everyone that's involved in the football club, what you've got is a team at the moment that are doing very, very well. They haven't wasted the money. They've bought well.
And the infrastructure as well.
And they've helped the club and the ground. And it's a fixture that I think everyone looks forward to going to, because you are right on top of the game.
They've never played in the higher than this level before. But that whole conversation shows that they are now set up, ready to take the step to the National League North.
Well, how many clubs are averaging four figures in this league? Yeah. There's not many. And Marine are in that.
They
gang
are, yeah,
now.
And they're doing very well.
Now, Marine, obviously, they've got the FA Trophy as well, and we'll cover off those two ties which are happening next week shortly as well. But I did mention Bamber Bridge.
Yeah.
And obviously, Swampy, one of the factors is the great work Jamie Milligan does with recruitment and that side of things. The fascinating thing, though, about where Bamber Bridge find themselves at the minute is not that they're fifth. It's the fact of how they got there. A terrible run.
Ben, I put, how are they fifth in my notes? It literally says that.
Is it in capitals as well?
I mean, that is...
There's no question mark there, by the way, dear listener. It's an exclamation mark.
that is the nature of this division, because they had a half-decent start, then they were appalling, and then they got a small run... And before you know it, you're going, hold on. And you look over each other, everyone's going, hold on. Where have they come from? And exactly that's what you do in this division. I mean, they are where they are now. That's why we're talking about them. But they're no different probably between another 10 clubs.
No.
It's just...
But they are the most fun team in the league. They're in the playoffs with a -7 goal difference.
Conceded 41, aren't they?
In the same week, they got pumped 5 at South Shields and then put 5 past Matlock 3 days. I mean, they are glorious fun if you want to go and watch a team.
I mean, talking to Jamie Milligan, he obviously says, rightly, the squad's thin. So it is a case of when injuries happen, that's when results don't happen.
He's finding it harder to dip into the loan market this year, which actually is a compliment to how well they've done, because we talked so much on the show last year about how skillfully he was able to kind of borrow players from the nearby football league clubs, and it sounds like that's become much more difficult, and yet they're still in the conversation for the players. Absolutely remarkable.
One of the most informed teams at the minute is actually Nantwich Town. I mean, Bamber Bridge have got the 10th best form in the last 6 games. Hyde United are 14th when it comes to the form guide. So what I'm trying to say is...
How are they second?
Yeah, how are they second?
Yeah,
I'm going to Warrington Town next, and that's why I bring up form. Because one game they're beating South Shields, the next they're drawing with Stalybridge.
Yeah.
And then they're getting beat against Whitby and Mask before that. It's
an improving Whitby,
which we'll
come to. I mean, Warrington are fuming that they let Stalybridge. It was a really bad goal that they conceded as well. So definitely 2 points dropped, and if we add those 2 points on, they'd be right in the. I mean, look, they're only 6, but they would be in the playoff zone. We also talked last month about Connor Woods was doing the business, you know, on loan from Southport, and obviously Southport recalled him, so it's quite timely that Jordan Buckley finally made his return from a very long term injury as a sub against Stalybridge on Saturday. He's obviously going to need a little bit of time, but they are going to need him to contribute if they're going to continue to challenge. I mean, we always make the joke, oh, Warrington are fifth, but they're only sixth, so they're kind of where we think they would.
Yeah, I mean,
two games in hand as well.
Yeah.
And they are a football club that we know are always there or thereabouts at the end of the season.
Warrington just 2 points outside the playoffs, and as Simo rightly says, not too far off fifth, which is...
They'll get there.
Yeah. Radcliffe are in seventh. I mean, they're thereabouts, haven't they? I mean, they'll be a bit disappointed they're not in the playoff positions at the moment.
As Tegan said, there's some of them, they just drop daft points, and that might be
but
their undoing.
Go back to what I was saying earlier about form. Isn't everyone dropping daft points?
It'll cost you eventually.
FC, a bit like Bamber Bridge, one win, 3 points to the playoffs all of a sudden. It's back on.
Well, I don't know what's back on, but I mean, there's something on, certainly. I mean, the football.
The oven?
Well, no, from an FC perspective, yeah, I mean, again, there's
Gainsborough. Isn't it? Away form's better than the home form.
Yeah, I mean, we can't. I mean, until Saturday.
That was the first Saturday win at home. All season,
wasn't all season.
It?
First Saturday really? Win whole, really? All season. In fact, it might have even been the first home win on a Saturday in 2022.
Really?
I mean, obviously you get hoodoos and so on and so forth. But I mean, the game on Saturday for FC was a half or what win. It was tough. It was difficult, but they got through it. But equally, I mean, any team at the moment can beat any other team. At FC United at the moment, I'm thinking now based upon that win at home.
it was that bad.
You get that one game that you win, and there's no question that, in fairness, FC could have been 1-0 down and been trying to get the game back, and they end up winning 2-0. Great play from Regan Lenny, was superb. Michael Potts did his usual thing. Charlie Innes was outstanding.
I'm going to say, is there a bit of a dependency on Regan Lenny at the minute?
No, I don't think there's a dependence on him. I think he's a quality player. Any team in this division would want him. He has got a bite and tenacity that you want in a football player. He will score goals, but his work rate off the ball is outstanding, and that's what you want in a player.
It's a triumph how they've converted him, isn't it? You think, came as a...
He scored a few off the wing, though, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he was a half-decent winger, let's not be right.
I mean, 3 weeks ago, they were top.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they went from top to 11th. I mean, that's how narrow the gap is. I think the result on Saturday... for the winning the first time on a Saturday will galvanise the team even more. I think they can move on and go. And I fully expect them to where they are now to be a top five team for the rest of the season and get right up there and get into the hearts and minds of other teams and play well. But they're not playing any better football or worse football than maybe 11 teams in the division. Yeah. I mean, we played you guys early in the season, and... there's nothing between the two teams,
I don't think.
Just to reinforce that, you asked the question about Linney. You said before, defences win leagues, well, attackers win games. Linney's a match winner.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they get in a tight space or they're not playing well, a chance will fall to him and he will get them points. One or two of the other teams that we've touched on in the playoffs at the moment don't have that sort of player. I'm thinking like Marine have been really solid defensively, but they've been scratching around all season for... a number nine. Solomon might be it, but I think it's too early to tell. So one or two of the others in the players at the moment don't have that type of player.
Just touching upon another team who were there or thereabouts, Matlock Town.
Yeah.
I know I mentioned it before about form, but it's true. And Swampy said it. There isn't anything separating this top half
and I
too
think,
much.
For Matlock this month, I would say see Matlock last month. And what I said, I think still applies in that Craig Elliott is a very good manager, but he's going to need a little bit of time to figure it out, a little bit of time to get in the players that he wants, and therefore it's no surprise to me at all they've been a little bit inconsistent. It was a disappointing exit from the FA Trophy against Masku, a team who can't buy a win in the league, and then obviously they had that weird spanking at Bamber Bridge. There's obviously still things that need to be sorted out. Luckily for them, and this is a thread that's run through several of the teams we've talked about, they're not out of touch despite going through kind of these bumps in the road. And they've got a guy who knows how to get promoted. So I think they're okay.
It is for me, having this show in December, the strangest show we've ever done. Because we would have runners and riders. We would know primarily where teams were going to finish.
I think you're
right. We have no idea this season because we are all so close to each other. One result takes you from
I tell you what,
fifth bottom to... mid to top table.
I tell you what, though, that was true last month, but now it's stretching out a little bit. I remember the gap.
Yeah, but
it was at the top 12 last month, and now it's the top 9.
But I'm comparing to the last season,
yeah, sure.
Where we knew.
It was like segments
we
of the
all,
table.
We all knew, and we could discuss it. And now, and in fairness, I mean, this is the hardest season we ever have had to discuss who's going to finish top, how we're going to fare, what we're going to do. It's just one of those.
All the managers keep saying that to you as well.
They do say that. Let's touch upon what great work Jody Bannum's doing at Warrington Rylands.
Well, he shut me up, hasn't he? Because I said, I'm a bit worried about Rylands last month.
Just clicked, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, they're quite good fun as well. They score a lot of goals.
They're similar to Bamber. Yeah, they concede a lot and they score a lot.
Yeah, but they have had a really productive month, and that's quite impressive considering they've lost their best player one of their best players to Macclesfield in Kane Drummond, but so far don't seem to be too adversely affected by that. He's not really done anything at Macca. In fact, he got sent off pretty early on from signing for them. So they've kind of climbed back up the table, haven't they? And they're now in the conversation again. I think Luke's spot on. I think they're probably going to need to tighten up if they want to be a serious threat to the playoffs, but they've repaired some of the damage that was done in October.
I mean, where does the line... We're coming up to our Christmas show. This is the Christmas show, really, but we're coming up to the New Year show and the turn of the year. Where does the line stop now for the playoffs?
I don't think it does. I honestly don't believe
it does.
The correct
answer was fifth, by the way, but anyway.
I'd say Ashton, because then you're looking at... Yeah, I'd say Ashton.
And going back to that draw against South Shields, is that a bit of a moment, do you think, for Ashton United, where they've gone...
Not a moment, but it keeps him interested, doesn't it?
They're closer to the bottom four than they are to the top, though.
What division, though, has the top 12 intention to win the league? There's not one, I don't think. I can't think of a team.
I don't think you can cut off from Stafford, though, because like Stafford are only 4 points, so I think you've got to go slightly further.
And just touching about Stafford, I mean, they've just been solid. I mean,
they've dropped off, they were top.
They've dropped off, but they beat FC United a couple of weeks ago in a very dogged, determined way. But then after FC United, they did get beat by Everton. So, well, I mean, it's
You know what you're going to get with them, though, don't you? They only score one or concede one, usually, don't they?
And
How important is the festive period for clubs like Ashton United and Stafford? Because this is where it does start to stretch out a bit. And
no, I think that the whole Christmas thing is a misnomer. Because you're playing against the same teams.
It's a misnomer.
and equally, you're playing your local rivals. Ordinarily.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have the same... It's not the same emphasis it once was. I think you can get through this period like a normal period... And then carry on to January. And I think January, February is where the league really unfolds.
But you're right, because we've all followed the Northern Premier League for long enough that it used to be another game in there. So it was very tight and there was a lot of points up for grabs. Because the league was condensed, like it was 24 teams at one point, and the way in which they set the calendar up now, there's a little bit more breathing space at Christmas. So I think you're right in that we used to say, because it used to be like, 12, 15 points up for grabs in 10, 12 days, and it's not quite as...
No.
But just how important is it for clubs like Ashton United and Stafford now...
To have a good Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, Ashton will feel like they won on Saturday, so they've got a real spring in their step now going into the next couple of weeks. But both of those two teams and two or three around them have been really inconsistent. So... Two or three wins, as we've talked about, is quite disproportionate in this division. So that could spring them... Well, they don't need to go on a big run. I suppose the answer to your question is they want to still be in touch, which is where they are.
I think we're going to find a team below 12th position that find themselves in the next 2 months...
I agree.
In the top 10, top 5, maybe. It's like, it's incredible.
Lancaster, I'd say.
Whoa. That's such a good segue. Let's call time on this first part of the show where we discuss the top half of the table. And in the second part of the show, we're going to be discussing the lower half. And, as Luke just said, we'll start that bit of the show off, I think, with Lancaster City. We'll see you all in a second. Welcome back to part two of the Pitching In NPL show right here at the Heat and Hops. And this part, we're going to be discussing the lower half of the table. And
which is pretty much like the first half of the table, isn't it? Because everyone's the same.
Well, no.
Simo's, a bit gloomier.
Simo said...
Slightly gloomier, but all have the opportunity to get there anyway.
Yeah. Sunny days, Mike.
In the break there, we had a little production meeting, and Simo said, is it too soon to be discussing relegation? There's certain teams who that is on the radar at the moment, But there's some teams who've got themselves out of this recently and who are looking up. Luke mentioned Lancaster City earlier. We should start with Lancaster, although I'm tempted to start with Atherton, but I think there's two different conversations there, isn't there? Am I right to start with Lancaster and not Atherton Coles, even though Atherton Coles are 13th? There is a kind of...
You're suggesting that Lancaster might revert to their mean, which has been in the last few seasons in the top half of the table.
Where's it come from, this?
They've had lots of injuries, haven't they?
Yeah, and they kept the faith, didn't they? They kept chipping away, kept plugging away. Brilliant four-game running run. It might have been five, you know, with Pop like absolute chaos on Saturday. It was 1-1 before they had a player sent off in the second half against Marine. Marine then went on to score two more goals. But there was more than a dozen cards in the game. It was the battle of Giant Axe. I mean, I'd love to have been there. What on earth were they doing? I think it was 13 yellow cards.
That does sound very wartime-ish, doesn't it?
Something like 13 yellow cards and a red card and...
To admit, they were the best team that have come to Hyde this year because they actually pressed and you think they're going to run out of steam and they didn't run out of steam, but then obviously they had that horrible injury. But so what they did was then they were just more compact and hitting on the break and they defended really well. Evangelinos is a good signing for them. They're really quick on the break as well, and the keeper they got on loan from Burnley's decent as well. So they are picking up form now, aren't they? Because when they're in the bottom, everyone's like they're not going to stay down there, are they?
But
well, they're a team.
But Swamper, 2 points from the relegation places after all this chatter about them improving.
Yeah, they've still got words.
They've still got words.
Games in hand.
They're a team that they're going to be fine this season. They're not going to find themselves in a relegation battle. They're going to be mid-table.
Atherton Coles are now 4 points from relegation places. And it was looking a bit like they were going to get dragged into it. But that win against Stafford, so important, Swamper.
Usually for them. And this weekend, it's going to be... a very, very big game for them. I think...
Because if they win against FC United on Saturday...
Yeah, they're probably top five. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, that's the league, isn't it?
I mean...
No, let's be honest, that is the league.
Depending on the score, they could overtake Warrington Rylands.
I mean, I think we're all laughing and joking here to a degree about relegation. I mean, there's just not a chance at this moment in time we can really talk about it because it's so easy to just jump three or four places depending upon teams above you.
I think, like, pound for pound, in kind of terms of efficiency, there's no rival for them, is there? What they eke out of what they've got, the job that Brad Cook has done there, year on year now, when teams come up and, like, the first couple of years, everyone's kind of figuring out who they are, it's a little bit easier, I think, to survive, got a bit element of surprise. To consistently be in the middle of the table for a club of that size with their resources is pretty remarkable. And he deserves all the credit, and not just him, obviously everybody at the club deserves all the credit. He's put together a team that's one of the hardest to beat. They're always defensively one of the better teams in the division, and they don't score many goals, but the goals they do get are just enough to keep them where they are. That's what I mean by them being one of the most efficient teams in the league. It's incredible.
It's not quite a fortress at home this year, though, which they normally are. They've been really good away from home, haven't they?
They're set up to play away from home, I think.
Luke, can we just touch upon Geisler as well? Because obviously big news this past couple of weeks with Paul Phillips going in. We obviously had Thomas Fiend on the show last week talking about it. It was a great win against Morpeth.
Huge. Last minute. It's one of those ones where it's like, oh, might be a turn the corner goal. Because they've been on a rotten run apart from getting through in the trophy. I think it's too early to tell what's going to happen. Philo does know his way around the league. He knows players. He'll know who he needs to get in to make sure they... I mean, it'd be an absolute disaster for back-to-back relegation. So I imagine the board have said to him, absolute minimum, we cannot get relegated. Although, knowing Philo, he'll go into a job thinking that to be a bit more ambitious than that.
Look at these teams, though. Lancaster City, Geisley, Whitby, Morpeth, Nantwich, Mask, even Stalybridge, you know, National League North a few years back. These are big clubs down the bottom end of the table here, aren't they?
Well, I refer you back to the compliment to Atherton Coles. That's how, you know, that's the kind of pool they're swimming in.
The thing with Geisley Whitby is there's a lot of change going on. Obviously, Geisley got relegated. Young side, young manager, wasn't it? Whitby, I saw on Tuesday. And again, some of the old guard like Gell and Hobson have moved on. So they've got a younger team and they're getting used to that. They only had Fuster up on his own till a few weeks ago, and now they brought Jake Day and Connor Simpson on alongside him. So that's all helping as well.
The big change of dynamic was moving away from the joint manager model, and Nathan Haslam was obviously stayed and stepped up to be the guy.
It was interesting, I think, when we had Nathan on, yeah. I think last week, because yeah. there was an air where he's like, this is going to be fine. I
thought his interview was great.
Can we talk about Morpeth Town? And
I don't know. It's a bit. They're not getting tonked, but they. I mean, that's a hammer blow. Saturday to lose against another struggling team in the last minute will really, really yeah. make them wince. And they were already couldn't buy anyone a win anyway. No win in eight, and they've lost six of those. They need to stop the slide pretty quickly.
They've comfortably scored the most in the bottom. Well, just in the bottom half. They're the one, you know, you're looking at teams going, could they progress up? Morpeth are the one who are actually going the opposite way at the minute, aren't they?
Lancaster and Whitby are now ahead of Morpeth, which...
We expect them to carry on going up.
Did we not see Morpeth have a really dreadful start? Was it last season? And they were the
bottom.
And where did they finish? They really climbed the table, and they were on the precipice of being in the playoffs and doing really well. So I can't see them.
There's been a massive turnover of players. Craig Lynch is very deliberate in breaking the team up in the summer. Changed a little bit the style of play as well.
Last month, though, we were talking about that gap between the bottom six and the rest of the division. It's, with a couple of exceptions, that gap's vanished now.
Yeah, it has, and that's great. If you're one of these teams that have been in the mix at the bottom and you're dragging people in, that's exactly what you want. You want as many teams in there as possible. And are you coming on to Nantwich next?
I am.
Yeah. Well, they've had a brilliant month, unbeaten. Picked up three wins and then carried that on by beating Rylands in the first week of December last weekend. What a turnaround. You know, it's clicked beautifully for them. One thing you say about Nantwich, which is quite surprising, that outside of the table's top four, they've conceded the fewest goals. They've actually been pretty solid defensively. The problem's been at the other end of the field. It's not just that Nantwich have won games, it's who they've picked up points against as well. They got a great point against a very informed Gainsborough. They went away to Radcliffe and went away to Rylands. And won. Another interesting point about that, in the last three games, they've scored in the 90th minute to change the result to get the point. So Richie Sutton will be made up that they've got that resilience now that they didn't have earlier in the season when they were losing games. So obviously, they're right still in the thick of it, but they've given themselves a much better chance.
What about Mask United, Luke? Curtis Woodhouse is now in charge, and it's a tricky time for everyone down there, but particularly Mask as well.
They've got games in hand, haven't they? But when you're down there, you want points on the board, don't you? So there's always the pressure going to be on. They should have played against Liversidge last night. That was called off. That would have been a big game. There's a lot of upheaval going there. When I saw Mask the other week against Hyde, the manager had just gone the week before, and I was saying to Simo off air before, it's like they accepted they were just going to get beaten 1-0. They went 1-0 behind. I had loads of chances. They went down to 10 men late on, but they didn't have a go at all. So Curtis Woodhouse will bring that fighting spirit in, whether that's enough.
We did see that initially, didn't we, when they...
Well, they had that win out of nowhere in the FA Trophy at Matlock, but if you... That was an outlier if you look at the general pattern of that. One thing that's deeply worrying for them, and he needs to address it fast, is they just concede goals.
Mass do have games in hand. What about Stalybridge Celtic? They've beaten Whitby.
Yeah.
You know, they picked up a draw...
They beat Stafford as well, didn't
they? Yeah, they beat Stafford. They picked up a draw against Warrington. They were drifting a bit, but they have picked up some results.
When you had Chris Wilcock on, he talked a little bit about that, didn't he? That I think he was... You know, that long losing run that they went on, and they have arrested that slide, because at one point, September, October, they looked like they're in serious trouble after a not bad start. But one of the things that Elton's picked up points earlier on is that they were really difficult to break down. They were kind of picking up clean sheets, weren't they? But we were all laughing to know it's steady, but 0-0 again. But they were kind of slowly picking up points. They need to get back to that. But the problem that was there and that was identified in the summer has not gone away. They don't score enough goals. And we've talked about this a couple of times on the show tonight. You need goals to win games and defenders to get you kind of to your broad objective. And they don't seem to have goals.
I mentioned Stalybridge there, 3 points from safety at the moment. What about Liversidge?
Well,
as we head towards the turn of the year, it's looking a bit concerning at this stage.
It is concerning. As a veteran of a relegation battle last season, you're constantly obsessed with not being adrift. And they're probably not quite adrift yet, but you're right, 6 points from safety. You're getting nervous if it starts to go higher than that. You're extremely nervous if it gets to double figures. because it just feels like a long way to climb back. They had that kind of highlight of getting the first home win, which was a derby, a great result for them. And then they were brought right back down to earth by getting beat by an admittedly, as we've talked about, fast improving Whitby.
Do you know what, though? When we played them the other week, it was like they were waiting to get beat. They went 2-0 down and then they started to play that psychological almost barrier of playing at home, because they've gone away from home and been all right. I mean, they won at FC in a trophy, kept a clean sheet, didn't they? They've won a few away. I can't remember where else they've won at, but they've won had a few surprising results away, haven't they?
I think after seeing a lot of Step 4 football this season, the gap is growing between Step 4 and Step 3. And it's interesting that Belper and Liversidge are occupying the two bottom positions in the table at the moment.
And earlier we were talking about Marine and Warwickshire Islands.
Do you have the resources to?
Yeah. But I
don't know. It's interesting.
9 points, Belper to safety.
Tough ask, isn't it?
We saw them on Saturday. They're not a million miles away, are they? And we saw against Whitby and the win against Morpeth. But how crucial is the next month? Obviously.
Well, like I said, not being quite in that position, but having experience of this last year, you're constantly looking at the gap to close. And just on closing gaps, that's why Nathan Haslam's interview was really good, by the way. Because the way in which they've approached climbing off the bottom of the table is the textbook way to do it. He's took the pressure off the players. They've slowly kept faith in them as well. He's trusted them. And he's now getting the reward for that. It's easy to go the other way and panic and go, oh God, this is a mountain to climb. So, yeah, they don't want to get to January the 1st and that gap to be certainly any wider than it is now. Like, when you get in double digits, you're really in trouble.
I think from a Belper perspective, if Belper play the way they do against FC at other grounds, they'll do okay. I mean, they should have been 1-0. They're not a bad team. I mean, Brodie Litchfield is a top draw player. Yeah, I mean, he is top draw.
Just to cover off the matches this weekend, I mean, just to say, big disclaimer, everyone, we're pre-recording the show on Wednesday. Take this fixture preview with a little pinch of salt. And when I say pinch of salt, I mean the same salt you're going to be using for your driveway on Saturday morning. Aston United against Liversidge.
Well, they've got the bounce from the draw at South Shields, so it's bound to win.
But it's away from home, but Liversidge.
True, I still think Ashton will do it.
I've said Ashton win home.
Yeah, Ashton win home. Yeah.
Atherton calls against FC United.
Well,
postponed.
2-0 FC if the game goes ahead.
You normally back calls to draw, don't you? But yeah.
Bamber Bridge against Stafford Rangers. That's one a big all. Game for Stafford, isn't it?
Clash of styles as well.
Big time. Bamber at home.
Bamber could go third this weekend.
I'm going 2-2. Loads of fun. Yeah, good game. And great pies.
Home win.
Belper Town against Mass United.
0-0.
But that's
got nil-nil written all over it.
It's about targeting matches, isn't it? That's how you get out of it. You basically go, right, this is the game.
Either of them will want to lose, though. That's why I think
they won't. But I think Belper would take a lot out of the game against FC United. And I'm saying a home win for Belper.
Gainsborough Trinity against Warrington Rylands.
It's Gainsborough 2-1.
That's an open game. I'm going to go 3-3.
could be another riot. Yeah.
Marine against Guiseley.
Marine at home.
It would be a Marine. For me, a Marine win. Staying third.
Yeah.
Morpeth Town against Warrington Town. Best against for Morpeth.
They met in
it?
The FA Cup earlier in the season and it was a draw. And Warrington won eventually the replay. But I think Warrington might nick it.
The thing about Morpeth is you're not as frightened of going up there. They've lost 4 or 5 games at home, which is very unlike them by December, and they're also really out of sorts. So,
I'm going Morpeth to win.
There you go.
Nantwich Town against Lancaster City.
Ooh. Two upwardly mobile teams, I think.
It's a big win for either, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll go a 2-2 draw, debating.
I'll go away win.
Radcliffe.
Away win. Ooh.
Is there an away win at Staten Park? Radcliffe against Hyde United live on 26-0.
No. Draw.
Draw. Ooh. Should say that game live on 26-0.
If it's on, yeah.
Good.
Berkey should be back for that. He said he's going to go.
Will you be there?
He will be there if he's feeling better. I'll be there, yeah.
Stalybridge Celtic against South Shields. That feels like a game that South Shields
might mess up.
Might mess up. I mean, Stalybridge at home against South Shields.
I've got a 3-0. I've got a 3-0 in my mind. I don't know why.
2-1 South Shields are tight. They'll squeak it.
And finally, Whitby Town against Matlock Town.
We probably have to back Whitby, don't you, at the moment?
And just before we go, because that's nearly the end of the show, the FA Trophy, third round, next week. Guysley taking on Halifax.
Good the Yorkshire derby, that, though, isn't it?
Tough game, though, for Guysley.
Yeah, way win. Yeah, I think Halifax will win that game, yes.
And Mask United against Marine.
I mean, look at the body of work Marine have done in knockout competitions in recent years. You'd be insane to bet against them.
I think Marine might win it on pens.
Well, big good luck to Guysley, Mask and Marine in the FA Trophy. And, of course, we'll cover those games off in more detail next week. But that's it for this month's
Merry Christmas
of the Pitching in NPL show. A big Merry Christmas, one and all. We are still doing the weekly shows, but a big thank you to Mr. Andrew Simpson. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas back to you as well.
A Merry Christmas to Luke Edwards at 26-0.
Thank you, Ben. Merry Christmas, everyone.
And a Merry Christmas to Swampy from FC Radio.
Before we leave, I'd like to dedicate this show Alan Alcock, who was a stalwart of the NPL and equally the NPL show in the old days down at the Magnets. Alan, and from all the guys here at the NPL show, we wish you well. We wish you an opportunity to get better very, very quickly. Love you. Take care, brother. All the best, comrade.
Nicely done.
Well, on that note, that's the end of the NPL show. Don't forget, at Heat and Hops and heatandhops.co.uk. Big thank you to Damien once more for this month's edition. But we're going to go now. Make sure you wear a big coat this weekend, and we'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.